This is Report to Wyoming.
I'm Colby Fedor, and I'm sitting down with the director of the Casper Area Chamber of Commerce, Tina Hobel-Heinrich, and today we are talking about some of the things that are very impactful when it comes to local business. You think our biggest challenges are for local businesses?
Well, that's one of the great things about being affiliated with an organization like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They do so much research on topics like this. And I recently read an article that there are really five things that unilaterally are going to impact small businesses and small business owners right now. The first one is really inflation. You know, that's an easy one to understand, Colby.
And so when I hear inflation, it means rising prices for food. Housing seems to be a big one. Would you say this is, for local businesses, especially challenging because their products are costing more, they have to charge more, and less people are willing to buy them?
Yeah, I think especially for businesses who work in that disposable income realm, you know, I think that that is super, super true. So I recently was having a conversation with Mike at Donnell's, you know, our local candy store, and he talked about the price of chocolate going up. And so if you look at the first, so it made me have to look, so I'm a little bit of a geek, but if you look at the first quarter of the year, the price of cocoa rose 232%. So if you look at just that one instance alone. And that doesn't take into consideration all of the other raw materials that it takes. Labor is more expensive, but truly, so candy is probably not a necessity in most people's life. And so you have that limited ability to increase prices without it impacting bottom line, right?
Right. And we've talked about Casper being at the tipping point before.
Yeah.
And so what would that mean in terms of business owners? And I don't mean to get too far off the topic of inflation, but if we can get to a point, and you will be able to explain this better than me, where we do tip into a larger, more bustling city, does that mean maybe these businesses will have a better chance at selling non-necessities?
I certainly think it will. Market share is just bigger. You know, you have more people here. I definitely think our increase in tourism numbers is going in the right direction. And so we are seeing more tourists. Bigger risk is, you know, what may happen in the winter when we aren't seeing as many travelers, our town isn't as busy.
Okay. Anything, what else? What other big factors are business owners really maybe lamenting or paying close attention to?
You know, I think as far as inflation goes, it's just the rising cost of business. And it's one of those things that disproportionately impacts small business owners. So big box stores, they have space to warehouse raw materials. But when you tour Donnell's, you know that that's not the case. And Mike shared with me that day that he, you know, they buy this chocolate, their raw chocolate, by the pallet. And so when it comes to storing a pallet of something, that alone is going to be, you know, challenging, and keeping it in the right temperature. But what about, you know, all of those things that are perishable that you can't stockpile? You know, if you stop and think about how much it used to cost to go to dinner pre-pandemic, and now look at the cost of just eating out with a family of four. And that's across the board. I mean, if you go to McDonald's, it's 10 bucks a person anymore.
Right. What does the chamber do to help people with this exact issue?
You know, I think number one, it's advocacy. It's making people aware that this is a concern. We will always be the biggest champion of small businesses. It is so easy for us to order from Amazon, and really our role is just to make people understand that there is power in shopping locally. You know, the goods you receive, the service you receive, but more importantly, by shopping locally, you're supporting your community. You know, you're helping raise the tide.
I like it. Are we seeing optimism? Do you think a lot of business owners are feeling good about things?
Yeah, you know, I have to be honest and say I don't think there's a whole lot of optimism in election years. Mm. And, you know, that's another one of my personal concerns is just the amount of federal overreach, you know, and just it seems like there's a lot of politics in Washington, D.C. that are not favoring Wyoming right now.
Yes. And then the financial constraints, those are really stressful. What have been some of the comments that people have made to you?
Oh, you know, just that it's just tough. I mean, this is a great time of year, so we're not hearing it as much. But I certainly think that, you know, business owners are very aware of their expenses. They're tightening their budgets and really looking at cutting costs.
What about access to credit?
Yeah, so the second big thing that's really challenging for small business owners is access to credit. And so with inflation, higher interest rates, you know, we saw the failure of some small Silicon Valley banks. And thank goodness we are not like them. And our banks here in Wyoming are nice and stable. But that pinch did, you know, and will continue to cause a little bit of a ripple effect in terms of credit. So not only is credit more expensive, but access to credit is just not as fluid as it used to be. So perfect example, my my nephew is a truck driver. And so he is working on a project here. So he's been staying at my house. And so, which is great because I get to see my great nephew every night and he's a blast. But we were talking about just the delay in invoicing. So he hauls rock on the Casper Mountain project. And he was saying that, you know, they have to get a payment from the person that they're leased to. And I was like, well, yeah, that makes total sense. But what's the holdup? And he said, well, right now, payroll is being paid by our company's secondary business. They have a fencing company. But all of their fuel right now is on credit cards. And so you think about the transportation industry and just the amount of regulation that that industry is facing, you know, with all of the things that California has planned, that they want to be totally EV and no one on fossil fuels will be allowed in the state by 2035 or something ridiculous. That industry across the board is going to struggle.
Mm. And then I'm sure that means that interest rates go up remarkably.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to want to even, when you're spending on credit, it's a risk. And so to take that risk, you have to negotiate, okay, are we going to be able to make this back? Is it profitable?
And, you know, I think that's one of the other things about the power of local, Colby, is we have local banks. And I think a lot of business owners view credit as just the easiest way. So I think our role at the chamber is to encourage people to look at local lenders, you know, not rely on credit cards completely, and make those connections with our local banks and see all of the ways that they can help you. You know, if you haven't sat down with a business advisor from the Wyoming Business Council, do that. We can help you make those connections. But definitely, I 100% believe that the power is all locally.
I do see how a local perspective and insight is so useful with a changing economy and potential, you know, looming changes on the horizon that could be devastating for Wyoming especially.
Right. Absolutely. And having those relationships is really what it's all about. So, yeah, we can help build those.
Okay. Are we finding that there are a lot of new people willing to start new businesses? Are you getting more and more membership?
Our membership is trending positively, and I think that the ability to start new businesses, especially in Wyoming, you know, it's fairly easy. Register with the Secretary of State, create an LLC, or be a sole prop, use your own tax ID number. I love the energy that produces in our economy. You know, people who are truly entrepreneurs can go after what they really want to do in life, find their passions and pursue them. I don't know that that's always the safest way to start a business, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. We've had the Small Business Council on, and they talked about a lot of the challenges that come with starting a new business. And unfortunately, there is a high rate of failure. I think it was something like within 5 years, 50% or more.
Yeah. So that's the statistic that I have heard as well. And I think that that's really where meeting with an advisor, having a relationship with a local bank can help people find success, because a lot of the things that local lenders are going to require are just good business practices. You know, it's developing a budget, developing a business plan, really looking at your costs and profit margins and all of those things that are a little more involved than just starting a company.
What kind of practices do you think are just responsible for maintaining a small business in our area?
Oh my gosh, making it a business. You know, not making it an income stream, but actually setting yourself up for the long haul. And so that means, you know, meeting with an attorney. It's just money well spent. It means having the right insurance. When I worked at Wells Fargo for just shy of a decade, and that was one of the things that we always talked about, was how important it is to really set yourself up for success and for the long haul. And that does mean looking at the numbers and having, you know, thoughtful pricing and pricing based on formulas, not necessarily on market.
And certainly there's things that work in other places that don't work here. Have
you
seen 100%. Any of that?
I think that that is very true. Yeah, I can think of a couple, but I just don't know that it's going to be a right fit for Wyoming.
Right. Personability really goes a long way, I think. And then those events where businesses can come together and connect and talk.
And that's something that I think is working really well here in Casper, and it makes me super excited, is the amount of networking that people have done and continue to do post-pandemic. It's really awe-inspiring to me. We go to business after hours events, you know, once a month, and regularly have more than 100 people attend.
Oh, wow.
And so to have that face time and knowing that people are still carving that out of their very busy lives because they know the importance of it is really cool.
Yeah, I love seeing different people's products in someone's store, that their stores are sourcing local.
Yeah.
Even grocery stores use local food. It's really cool to see. The Not Your Mama's Salsa, I've seen that, I think, in Albertsons, I want to say.
So we just did a ribbon cutting for Suntan USA last week. And one of the things that she talked about was having, you know, local craftspeople make her jewelry. And I was like, that's cool stuff, you know.
Yeah. So then we do get into hiring and employee retention. Is it hard to find people who want to work for these businesses, are you finding?
Yeah, there was some kind of a shift that happened during the pandemic, whether it's that people, you know, realized that they could stay home with their kids, whether it's the rising cost of childcare, but the access to workforce, which was tight in a lot of communities pre-pandemic, is really tight right now. And so I think that that's something that we as a community are going to continue to face, is, and it impacts small businesses disproportionately as well, because the margins are so much tighter for small businesses as the workforce creates the wage demand, right? So we have fewer workers. So as that wage demand increases, McDonald's might be able to compensate. Walmart might be able to compensate and pay those wages. But small businesses are going to struggle disproportionately.
Is there any industries in particular that come to mind?
Service industries, brutal. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by the wages that they're making. So definitely that is one. But, you know, we're seeing it really across the spectrum. So as baby boomers retire, they're retiring young and healthy. I think that that may create some more opportunity in management level positions, but they're also young and healthy. So some of them are choosing to not retire at 65. They're going to continue to work into their 70s. My own mom just retired a few years ago, and she's 80. She looks like and acts like she's 60, but you know, it's just that's just how we're living.
And Wyoming does struggle particularly with keeping young people from fleeing the state. And I say fleeing because that was an earlier podcast that where I talked to Tom Lobnow. And so getting people to come and work, let's say, jobs at the hospital, for instance, it's really, really tough. And as you know, this is a giant, like, nexus of problems that all kind of
So one of the things that we have started at the Chamber of Commerce is we're just in the initial conversation about starting a young professionals group. So that was a group that was started outside of the chamber pre-pandemic, I think in 2019. And then it just hasn't come back yet. But I think that that is really important. So we had a steering committee meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we'll have another one coming up. But creating those opportunities for young people to network professionally and, you know, connect, I think, helps build community as well. And that's something I think is really hard, is just making connections and building those work relationships. If you're not actively in that business of the of building relationships, it's easy to forget to do that.
Oh, and especially today where everything, you could kind of live in virtual land on the internet all the time. And so meeting people face to face, it's very valuable. And I've seen older generations, they seem to really enjoy when young people are bold and willing to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me kind of sad for millennials and young millennials and Gen Zers who maybe haven't developed those skills.
So I think that's another factor, Colby, that really impacts workforce. So I had the opportunity of a lifetime to be a U.S. Chamber of Commerce Business Leads Fellow. So a lot of words to say that I got to study workforce with a group of people from across the country for a year. And when I finished that year in 2022, I knew that we needed to do something to move the needle. And so I had been hearing from business owners that when they hired younger professionals, and it's really not even an age thing, new employees in general may not have the skills needed to succeed. So we found a Department of Labor curriculum and built a program called Work Ready Bootcamp that is a six-week program. It's like 12 hours of instruction, basically, but it just teaches soft skills. So things like work ethic, how to greet people, you know, how to show up for an interview, conflicts of interest, just all of those things that when we do exist in a world of texting, you know, the reality, I heard this from a supervisor the other day that, you know, she said that I can have a conversation with an employee and it will absolutely put them in a tailspin. But if I text them the exact same message, they're totally cool. But just that face-to-face communication between employee and supervisor. And I thought, wow, how intuitive is that?
Right. Yeah, I had a job once at a restaurant, and our boss one day sat everybody down because I was probably 17, so this was over 10 years ago, but we had a meeting, and our boss said, when you walk through the door, I want you to walk around to every other employee in the building with a smile and say, hi, how are you? At least acknowledge them, because it got so, we all got in the habit of just kind of walking in and get our uniforms ready and blah, blah, blah. And then you just start working.
You know, it really just taught me that those little things matter so much. And it is a shame that when we don't do them, it's an inhibitor of community, especially in the workplace.
So one of the things that I had every participant in Work Ready Bootcamp do is to shake my hand. You know, even that, if you stop and think about it, so at that critical age, high school, teenage years, when our self-confidence is just kind of emerging, so think of their life from a pandemic standpoint. All of a sudden, it's not cool to just stick your hand out and shake hands with people. As a generation, they're probably going to continue to struggle with that. And because during that time, that was something we just didn't do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting to think about culturally, is that something we'll go back to? But I certainly see it in business that, you know, it's still something that I just think of as it's just second nature, you know, to stick your hand out and shake hands with someone. And so that is really a fun exercise to, and if they gave me the dead fish handshake, man, I'd give it right back to them just so they could feel how creepy it is.
Yeah. You know?
So, and in those moments, there's learning.
I'm seeing a lot of fist bumps. Everything is context, right? Like, I wouldn't give everybody a hug, but if it's an appropriate, you know, like an event where I'm like, oh, I know this person, I'll give them a hug. Great. But the handshake, always a good go-to.
I think so. In my world, anyway.
Yep. What about supply chain disruptions? We are seeing a lot of that, especially during the pandemic. It seems like we're coming out of it a little bit better.
So I think that big business has solved that issue. I think small businesses still struggle. So we rely a lot more on local suppliers, not global suppliers, especially in Wyoming. And so when those local supply chains are disrupted, your small businesses are really going to pay the price.
And these are all connected to like our turbulent weather. And I think about the agriculture industry and how fickle that can be. It's a long ways between some of these rural towns.
Yeah.
And so especially the food supply in Wyoming, that's tough because we're getting a lot of things from out of state.
And, you know, the reality of it is big businesses, especially big food operations, have their food delivered by Sysco, national suppliers.
Right.
So at that level, a lot of those disruptions have been handled. You know, they are looking more globally, perhaps, warehousing more stuff, perhaps. I don't know. But when you see a local restaurant owner who's, you know, stocking up on produce at Sam's Club, you know, we have to be more fluid as small businesses. So you have to be able to do things like take on last minute dinner parties or, you know, more than average reservations. If you run out of something, you go find it. And the reality of it is it doesn't always exist.
My husband's in the restaurant industry, and so he's always running to Sam's Club.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I think that that's just our reality.
And then textiles, too. It's not just food. I often, when I think of business, think in the restaurant industry or small retail shops. Other small businesses could be machinery.
Yeah, and we have some of that manufacturing here. I think of Wild Gear. I think about them and some of the raw materials that they need to do that. It's like injection molding or plastic making or something.
Oh,
it's
good.
Really
I wouldn't
technical.
Know. Yeah.
And of course, when there is no alternative for them.
And you can only make what you can only sell what you have.
Correct.
So that is a big factor in all of this is can you get what you need at a reasonable cost? It's all, again,
and
connected.
Then, you know, it's not enough, Colby, that they have like supply chain issues, but then you get the impact from something crazy like our weather. And I wasn't here when this happened, but when Casper had that horribly wet snow April, not this last April, but the April before, I think, their building collapsed. So imagine trying to overcome that from a small company and just, you know, to continue seeing them succeed is pretty awe-inspiring.
Oh, you have to be willing to be innovative and work your tail off. I've seen people doing all kinds of things to stay afloat. And it's really impressive when they can. Mm-hmm. And for some, it's just not possible or feasible.
Yeah.
And so that's always kind of sad, too. When you see businesses that during I think the pandemic was the first time I've really seen people like the devastating effects of all of these things working against someone. And the businesses that could stay afloat had to be
really clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw, and I wasn't in Casper during the pandemic, but we saw, you know, kind of a return to that very personal service where if you needed a gift, you could call the store owner and they would walk around the store with you and say, what about this? Let's do this. And then you'd package it up and they'd come to the curb and you'd run it out to them, you know. And man, there were parts of that I thought were so nostalgic, you know, reminiscent of a time how business used to be done.
Another factor I have been seeing is culture and how it nationally, how cowboy culture is being accepted or not accepted. So during the post Yellowstone, the TV series' popularity, and I think it's still kind of there, so many people wanted to come and buy cowboy hats or go get their cowgirl boots. And you see downtown a lot of stores really feeding into that. But then the opposite can happen when we have occurrences in Wyoming that people don't like. For example, the wolf thing in Daniel, right? And mm-hmm. then Wyoming gets a bad rap, and that's got to affect those businesses too. And so that's something totally out of our control. You know, we're going to have awesome, always, I think, cowboy culture will be Wyoming's heritage and legacy. And how people receive that is so different across the world.
I think that that's very true. So the community that I came from has a much larger tourist base, you know, and so it was never ending, you know, truly. I can remember one time we had a parade float, and 4th of July parade in Cody, Wyoming is a great thing. And it was right during the gender bathrooms and, you know, kind of the emergence of transgender and how we handle those male-female restroom, you know, issues. And someone had done an outhouse on as a float. And it, in my mind, was a very affirming message. The message just said, we've been using the same bathroom for 200 years. You know, we never had men's, women's, whatever. And so some media outlet got a hold of that and just completely skewed that message to interpret it as saying, no, if you're transgender, your only bathroom option should be outside. And I was like, that's not the message at all. But it's that misinterpretation of cowboy culture.
Right, which really can hurt when we rely so much on tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking about all of like these issues, knowing that a big part of what business owners are hoping for is that economic boost from tourism. And so when something, when there's a negative occurrence, that's got to be really scary because it's like, oh, how is this going to impact my business?
Yeah.
And it certainly can.
And I think that that's really when the power of your Chamber of Commerce is pretty clear. You know, I think that we control a lot of the messaging when those unfortunate things happen. And we do want to be, you know, helping people see things differently, perhaps, or how we intended them, you know?
Right.
But it is. It is a big part of our culture.
We have quite a few big things going on in our state right now. Bill Gates recently visited Kemmer for the nuclear power plant that's going to bring thousands of jobs. We've got the data center in Cheyenne. So how is the chamber thinking about this influx and how to capitalize on it for your members?
I think it's just really important that we stay on the advocacy front, you know, that we have awareness about some of the challenges that we are going to be facing as a state. I don't know if you've ever been to Kemmerer, but that is a big project for a town that, you know, struggles with keeping the streets paved and the utilities all working. So I recently had the pleasure of working with a group from Kemmerer through the Wyoming Business Council, and a group with Harvard called, we are doing some training called Problem-Driven Iterative Adaptation.
Ooh,
They call it PDIA for a good reason. And so you had to, as a group, look at a problem. And so this group from Kemmerer, their problem was infrastructure. I mean, literally, streets, gutters, sidewalks. And, you know, how do you handle this upcoming growth and still keep your community?
Right. And so many needs have to be met if you're going to have that many more people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that even schools, there will be more children if there are more adults and all of those things. So that's an interesting question for the town of Kemmerer.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.